Mark Tegubin. Welcome, my friend, to a few more moments of Bible study around the Word of God. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he is, beloved. I trust you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Well, we're continuing in our study of the two ordinances of the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly, which I believe began with the disciples who were called out by the Lord Jesus Christ and were given the commission to go into all the world and the instructions concerning baptism and concerning the ordinance of communion, or the Lord's table, which we're discussing. And all of this is a part of we as believers knowing who we are in Christ and understanding who we are in Christ and what it means to be a child of God. And that's why we're taking this little side trip concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we left off last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, so I trust you have your Bible and will join us again as we're picking up in this study. Beginning with verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now he said, the bread pictures the body which he broke. This is my body which is broken for you. That is, he would endure such suffering. He would endure such terrible abuse that, beloved, the Bible says that in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says he did not even look human because of the abuse that he would suffer for you and for me, as he would be dying on that old rugged cross for our sin. Isaiah 52, verse 13 through 14, But my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astounded at thee, his visage, that is, his physical appearance, was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So, beloved, that Christ did not even look human. He was so abused because of your sin and mine. He was dying in our place as our substitute. He is the only way of salvation for mankind. And he endured all of this horrible, terrible suffering, so that he didn't even look human as he hung on that old rugged cross, because of the abuse that had been poured upon him by those who were under the control of the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, the demons of Satan. You see, beloved, this is something you and I need to always keep in mind, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, as Paul writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Flesh and blood is not our enemy, but the principalities, the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, the spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, Satan and his demons. Those were the forces of evil that were at work at the crucifixion of Christ, using human pawns to accomplish their evil as they abused Christ and poured out upon him their hatred, seeking to destroy him, thinking that they were being victorious through crucifying Christ. You see, they really didn't understand what they were doing when they crucified the Lord Jesus. They didn't know that they were fitting right into the plan and purpose of God, and were doing exactly what God was allowing, because through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, you and I have been redeemed. We've been liberated. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin. We've been given the gift of salvation and eternal life. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to know the truth, and how wonderful to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Yes, the Scripture says that these truths were hidden from the powers of darkness and the forces of evil. They didn't realize that they were being used by God to fulfill His plan and His purpose, that you and I might be redeemed, that we might be liberated, that we might be delivered from the powers of darkness. And so, beloved, we see that this is what communion pictures, the death of the Lord Jesus. And we're to keep that in mind when we partake of the Lord's table. When we eat of the bread, it's a reminder of the abuse and suffering that Christ endured in His body for you and for me. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood which Christ shed for our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, beloved, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, we're told in 1 John 1. The precious blood of Jesus. And so it's not a horrible and terrible thing, but you know what it pictures? We're told in the Old Testament that the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why there the Lord told the children of Israel not to eat the blood, to pour the blood out on the ground and not to eat the blood, and they were to drain the blood out of the animals, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why Christ shed His blood. It pictured His life that He gave for you and for me. And so as we come to the communion table, notice the instructions that are given in verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Do you see how serious it is, beloved? You do not want to partake of the Lord's table unworthily. But let a man examine himself. We're to examine our heart, beloved. We're to see if there's any unconfessed sin in our life. If there's anything in our life that is displeasing to the Lord, then this is the time that we're to acknowledge that, to confess it to the Lord, to make our heart right with Him before we partake of this table, because we do not want to partake of the Lord's supper unworthily. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Do you see? Damnation, judgment, because of partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner and not realizing what you're doing. That's why children that have not been saved are not allowed to partake of the Lord's table, because they aren't discerning everything that's involved and what it really means to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior and to be delivered from the bondage of sin, to be made pure and clean and holy and righteous within their spirit. For the judgment, notice what he says in verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And he's speaking of death when he's talking about the death of a believer. The death of a believer is like going to sleep. And it's not a horrible and a terrible thing. After a hard day's work, you come in, going to sleep is a blessing. It's a pleasure. And beloved, so the deliverance from this old body of sin into the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's not something that's horrible and terrible. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh yes, beloved. And so you see, salvation even changes and takes the sting out of death and makes death to be something altogether different from what the world would make it out to be. And so, beloved, you do not want to partake of the Lord's table unworthily, because to do so is to bring judgment upon yourself. For this cause many believers there at Corinth were weak and sickly, and many of them had died, God taking them on out, because they had partaken of the Lord's table unworthily, and thus the judgment of death came upon them, and God removed them. And so, beloved, this is the other ordinance of the church. And yes, it's a beautiful thing to have a clear conscience to come to the Lord's table and to partake of the Lord's table in remembrance of the love that Christ had for us, His death, His burial, and His glorious resurrection. And that because He lives, I live also and have eternal life. And will never die. I pass from death into life because of what Jesus did. Till next time, goodbye.